Hello?
Well,
Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman, and you are listening to Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee. Now in 6 countries with over 14,000 listeners. And here he is, my friend, Professor Gary Lee.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha. This is Professor Gary Lee with Parts Unknown on the AMAA Radio Network. And it's an honor to be in your home on a Tuesday evening. We have a great show tonight. I have an old friend. You know, it's really cool to bring old friends on the show and interview with them. But you know what's really cool? I've got some incredible people that make this show happen. We're going to start off with my producer. This man has got a vision. He put us on the air almost 10 years ago, and we used to talk to thousands of people a week about sport karate. He owns the AMAA Radio Network and Elite Publications. I'm talking about Honchi Jesse Bowen. Honchi, you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening, sir. You know, not taking your quote or anything, but making it better and better every day.
That's right. Every day and every way.
Tell me about your event coming up in August. I want to talk about that a little bit first. Who you got coming and
okay,
what you got
great.
Going on.
Well, you know, we are doing our 10th anniversary of the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Hall of Honors event. We started back in Charlotte, North Carolina, so we're back in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been in Las Vegas for the past 4 years, but celebrating, really working on bringing all that's been in the book, you know, back together at the event. So all that's going really well. You know, we're going to be celebrating Linda Denley's birthday as a part of our VIP reception. We're going to turn that into a birthday party. Grandmaster Joe Corley will be our guest speaker for the event. So we're actually right now looking at having a book expo with other authors that are not martial artists coming in. We've actually looked at there's a beauty pageant that would like to join us and actually host a beauty pageant, you know, during the, during the event, because we have pretty much all the rooms at the event. So we're looking at doing something totally different, partnering with other people that are not necessarily martial artists, but we all are doing some form of celebration. So, you know, we're really excited about that. I talked with, Grandmaster Bill Wallace today. And so, we got a lot going on. We have a Roku TV channel and Fire Stick that we're going to be launching in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, we've been, you know, really busy, but that's August the 9th and 10th, Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Charlotte Hilton Airport Hotel. You can go to our website, www.whoswhointhemartialarts, nominate someone to be a part of our event, because, you know, we're not just an event, you know, we're not a book, you know, we have our magazine now, the Roku channel, so we have a lot of ways to help martial artists promote themselves so that people can learn about the martial arts and discover how martial arts can empower their lives.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's really cool you mentioned three of my favorite people that come to my event every year. Mr. Corley came last year when we were under Mike Stone. Linda always comes. And golly bum, who's the other gentleman you mentioned was coming? Jeff's coming to your event too, right?
Right. Jeff Smith, Bill Wallace, and
Benny. I flew in Bill last year to surprise Mike Stone, and it was such a cool thing to have Bill there. So you're going to have a great event, I know. Now, you also work on a magazine now, which you know, we're going to be on the cover here pretty soon and have a different articles from different history journals, be writing articles. But tell me about your magazine. What's going on with the Extraordinaire Magazine?
Well, you know, the Extraordinaire Magazine has been really something great. It's really for our inductees. You know, it's another, another level of promotion. You know, we have to promote the martial arts so people can know that, you know, we're still around, schools are still open, but it's an opportunity for them to share themselves, another opportunity for their stories. Of course, you know, we have the Metaverse Museum, but the magazine sort of encapsulates everything that we do and everything that we've done. And it's really a branding magazine. So I call it, it's not the famous magazine, it's the branding magazine. And, you know, and what we really want to do, because I really think that the Fort Karate Museum deserves their own magazine. So, you know, we're going to meet with our graphics people tomorrow and work on creating that cover, but, you know, creating a magazine just for the Sport Karate Museum. So all
well,
that should be happening very soon.
I've got a lot of people excited that are writers who will be writing specific topics for the magazine that you'll be publishing, and we'll be talking about that more. But I wanted to ask you something before we get you off the air. Tonight's topic with the five is the mindset of a champion. Now, I know that you're a karate animal, but you also are a bowling animal. And to be the top, to become a pro like you have, what is the mindset you feel you have to do to become a consistent champion? I want to put you on the spot and ask you about that. Tell me about your bowling experience, sir, because I know you're really good at it.
Well, you know, the very first thing you really have to is about mindset. And in the martial arts and as a competitor, it wasn't a trophy. It was to prove to myself that, you know, it wasn't about the style of karate that you studied or martial arts you studied. It was really about the competitor himself. So, you know, with that mentality, and, you know, I had a great career as a competitor. And, you know, what pushed me into bowling was after a tournament, I went bowling, and I never bowled before. And I think my first game was 25. And the people I was with, they got on the PA system, made a big joke about it. And my martial arts school was right across from the bowling center. And I'd been there for 6 or 7 years. I'd never been to the bowling center. And so after my lunch break, I went to the bowling center, and I hired a guy at the pro shop to teach me how to bowl. So if you want to be a champion, you really have to go and find someone that can coach you, whether that's in business or whatever. So I got the guy at the pro shop to start teaching me how to bowl. And I joined the league. You know, I bowled 50 games every week. I bowled so much, they stopped charging me for bowling. And, you know, and after I joined the league, I started competing in tournaments, and actually the date was 84. Yep, no, 94. July the 31st, 94, when I won my first big check, and that was about $1,200, and I was hooked from that point on. And I almost gave up my karate business just to pursue bowling. But you see, the mindset, that whole mindset of you know, someone laughed at you, you know, and you have a desire to be better. In karate competition, you have a desire to be better. And that's what martial arts, that was the driving force. But from that particular door, you know, I became a USB certified bowling coach, became the bowling instructor at Duke University. I turned pro in 2002 on the PBA tour. And then I began coaching, and then I became certified as a sports hypnosis coach and a mindfulness coach. But it was about understanding how to be able to trigger yourself into the zone.
Yes,
Professor,
sir.
You know, as a competitor, when you go to the zone, you know, you're hard to beat. You know, no matter – every technique you throw is a good technique. And that's the way it is in the sport, you know, bowling. But – you know, that's what I began to study, is what was the mental aspect that made visualization training. You know, and I use it every day in my business, you know, that is just used every day in what I do. So mindset, you know, that's where you can make changes in your life. When you change,
hey,
it, you can be on the bottom. Yes, sir.
Yes, Archie Bowen. You know, it wasn't long ago. I bowl, and it wasn't long ago. I was watching this kid right next to me at the bowling alley, and he was rolling between 18 and 20 miles an hour, okay, his
mm-hmm.
ball. And they don't even use the holes in the ball the way they roll the ball now. You know, they cup it in their
mm-hmm.
arm, and I forget what style they call it, the way they roll the ball. But this kid was a phenom. And I watched
mm-hmm.
him right next to me roll a 300 game. You know,
mm-hmm.
the kid was just amazing. But, I mean, the
ball
speed was crazy.
You know, AJ, you know, it's funny that we talk about bowling because I was talking to Hunchy about it. You know, my only experience with bowling was I was a pin setter back in the day, and that was crazy. I even had to put a football helmet on.
That explains your looks, Gary.
Okay, thank you, AJ. Well, Hachi, thank you for your input, Hachi, and thank you for all you do. And I'll talk to you real soon, sir. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Hachi Jesse Bowen, my producer of Parts Unknown. Now, I get to introduce two incredible men that watch my six every week. And if you know what I mean by six, that means my back. And the first man, I don't know if he's got to call on the air because he's a busy, busy, busy person, but I hope he's on the air. I'm talking about Mr. Dean Piles from Florida, an amazing kickboxer, a product of the great Joe Louis. Now, Dean, did you get on the air yet? Okay, well, the other man that watches my back, my friend from Cleveland, Ohio. Now, this guy is pretty cool. You know, he's a master of Taekwondo Karate, a Korean form of martial arts, and the only sport karate guy that's inducted into the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame. He also is the military spokesman for the military advisory board of the museum, and I want to bring him on. My buddy from Cleveland, Ohio, Master AJ Perry. AJ?
How are you, sir? Thank you very much for the nice introduction.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Jackson the Bell, I know. Well, listen, I got a great show tonight. I got an old friend. We'll talk about some of our memories, but he's a Kaju Kempo animal, literally. My buddy, Joshua Sad Eyes. Joshua, are you there?
Aloha, brother, but I am not Kaju Kempo. I am Kempo Lima Lama.
Okay, I'm sorry. You were a Tino, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I apologize. Now, we got some memories. I'm going to first talk about our first memory, the Kabuki Challenge, the big NBL tournament I put on in Hawaii. You ran my black belt division. It was pretty incredible. Do you have any memory, Kaplan, what you did and how we went through all that blood?
It was a great event. The Hawaiian boys, they never take a back step to anybody. We had such a great tournament there. The last fight, the black belt division, I was on the ground just as much as the guys were, because they were so intense. They were doing groundwork when they weren't supposed to be doing groundwork. And it was one of the best times of my life. I had a great time there, and I appreciate you giving me the offer.
Well, that was the year that you guys promoted me to professor, too, at that test that Bob Wall set up. But the other memory I have is when me and you and Jim, I think Steve was too, Steve Cooper, we went to Tennessee, and we did that black belt test.
Yes.
Am I remembering right? Steve Cooper, yeah, Jim Willoughby, you and me, and we went there. And I remember raising a little cane that night or that day. We had a fun time. Now, I want to mention Jim Willoughby, our buddy. Jim's probably listening to us right now, so we can say hello to him. Hey, Jim. Now, let's talk about Tino. I met Tino in Victoria, Texas, with his entourage, and he stayed and watched me win grand championship. I'll never forget that. And then we made him a history general, and I started calling a lot of people about him, like John Timidad and Chuck, Mr. Norris and everything. You know what they told me? They said they would work out in their dojos, and then they would always end up at Tino's dojo because that was a fighting school. And Tino would put those guys to the mill. Was Tino tough?
Anybody that wears Lee Malama gi knew in those days when you trained, you left a little bit of your heart and your blood on the mat, and that's just how Pop taught. He was a brutal instructor, but when you came away from it, you came away with an education.
Now, how do you say his last name properly? So I say it right. How do you say it?
Tulio Senga. Tulio Senga. He's Samoan.
Tulio Senga. Cool.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you,